This is an ABC podcast.
This is The Conversation Hour
on ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
A pool of teachers and education professionals, from graduating students through to teachers that have retired, have been put in place to fill the gaps in what will no doubt be a tricky school year.
But who has access to the pool? How do you enter the pool? And how will it help small schools or remote and regional schools?
This is James Molino speaking about the teacher pool with Virginia Trioli yesterday.
We know staff absence will be an issue, because there'll be some schools where staff absences are either non-existent other than the usual. There'll be other schools where you'll have a few staff away, and that can be handled internally via casual relief staff. And then there'll be other schools where the absences are quite significant. And that's why we're providing advice and support to schools, a tiered approach. We've got a pool of retired teachers, retired prins, support staff, admin staff, final year students. They'll have up-to-date working with children checks or up-to-date VIT registration. We'll have a pool of people where if a school is in trouble in terms of their staffing, we'll be able to provide additional staff to go there.
So how will the pool work? If you're a former teacher, would you dive in and get involved? Is this something that you even think will work?
And if the pool is not the solution, then what is?
On ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
This is The Conversation Hour.
It feels very appropriate to be talking pools when we are living through a heat wave, but this is a pool of a different type. Good morning. My name's Rochelle Hunt.
I'm Jeremy Story-Carter, National Regional Reporter.
Jeremy, when we talk about a pool, we did a very similar thing, or we asked a very similar thing in this state, to ask retired nurses and health professionals to come out of retirement to fill all the gaps that we've had in our healthcare sector. Now, that hasn't, look, it's sort of gone okay, but it's still problematic. We've had many nurses on The Conversation Hour at least say, look, I've thrown my hand up. I've tried to come back, but there is just so much red tape, whether it be that you've been retired for too long, about moving and locations, whether or not accommodation is something that will be provided. So when we talk about a pool, we're not saying it's not going to work today. We're just trying to figure out how it will work, and in particular, how will it work in regional Victoria?
Yeah, it's always going to be a slightly imperfect solution by its very nature. This is what we deal with this pandemic. I mean, I was speaking to a few teachers last night about this just to get a little bit of an early gauge. And one I spoke to said, look, it is something. But to quote them, look, it might help a few schools stay open, which is the aim of the game. Cynics would say it's not about education at that stage. It's just babysitting.
So it's more about keeping a school open. How important is it just to physically have a school open as opposed to what's being taught? Oh, man, that's – I don't really know if I'm prepared to start.
I'm not gutsy enough to touch that one, yeah.
It's really interesting, though. Is it about keeping the economy going, and that's why schools have to be kept open? Because without it, then teachers, parents have to stay at home. No one wants to go back to remote learning. So using the pool, is it more important this year just to physically keep schools open?
And I think from the perspective of teachers, which somehow don't always get the loudest voices in this conversation, you know, almost more than any other profession over the past 2 years, they've had all these different ideas, different sort of temporary and longer medium-term measures projected onto them with this incredible pressure. And they're sort of just expected to cop it and to wear those risks. And so obviously this idea of a pool is to support teachers if and when, you know, they have to take time off. But as we quite often say during this pandemic, no easy solutions.
And this is a part of a tiered solution. So what do you think? Are you considering throwing your hand up and getting into the pool? There's a text here, Jeremy, that says, I'm an ex-teacher in my 60s. Why would I want to return to a diseased environment? Let's go to the president of the Victorian Principals Association, Andrew Dangleish. Andrew, how will the pool work?
Good morning, Rochelle. Well, as yourself and Jeremy were just speaking, there's a whole range of challenges that are going to sit there, and it certainly may not be a perfect solution, but it is the government trying to be as proactive as possible to support schools in potential staffing challenges and to stay open and be able to ensure as much as possible continuity for students. So the pool is inviting recently retired education staff and or fourth year pre-service teachers, those that may still have their VIT registration and or have a working with children's check or can get one rapidly. They can register for that through recruitment online, and the department will then provide support to those who are registering, as well as support the schools when they may find themselves in serious staffing issues.
So serious staffing issues is something that exists even before, unfortunately, teachers might have to drop out due to COVID. Do you think it's a good idea, but do you think this is actually going to work? Is it going to make a difference?
Look, you're correct, Jeremy. There have been staffing shortages, and we noticed that last year with a shortage of CRTs. I think there's a relative percentage of relief teachers who come from overseas, and at the onset of COVID-19, many of those returned back to their countries of origin. What we'll see over the next few weeks will, in fact, be if we have sufficient numbers of people registering to support schools with this strategy. I think you both discussed the issue around, is it babysitting or is it teaching? As we know, significant planning goes into quality curriculum development and delivery. And I would assume that schools that may be requiring this will be able to, where possible, provide that support to those teachers who are coming in.
If it's last minute, if people have to travel, I mean, how much support will they get? I mean, the teachers already feel like they're copping it from all sides and they're not listened to at the moment. Are we simply keeping schools open for the sake of the economy?
Look, I think there's a range of things. We all agree that the best place for young people, for their learning, for their physical, social, emotional, academic development is in the school environment. And part of that is that it allows parents to adjust their working hours or their days, if possible, around that. In a perfect world, there is a blend of the curriculum, the teaching and learning. We have childcare available before and after school in our schools, and that's something which has occurred over the last 15 plus years to support families with those needs. So there's a blend. And the challenge has been incredibly real for teachers, for principals over the past 2 years. One of the things that we see is that capacity to keep adapting. You know, there's an incredible amount of goodwill that's out there with educators because they want to do the right thing for their students and their community, but quite rightly, there are some concerns there.
Now, Andrew, I'd just like to hold you there for a second. So we've got Lynn calling from Geelong. Lynn, what do you make of this idea?
Yes, good morning. Can you hear me? Because I am outside on
sounding great this time, Lynn. It was probably our area as per usual.
Yeah, no. Okay, look, I'm an experienced VCE teacher and I've been doing CRT work at a senior college in Geelong for at least 5 years. And I've got a few comments to make. Firstly, would the school you're attached to give you a whole lot of rats to have at home? And if you get called one morning, you've at least got a rat to use. Issue one. Issue two, I'm lucky that I don't have babysitting duties and I can just go at a drop of a hat. But it's fair to say some people will be driving a fair way and they will need a lot of contact. But more importantly, last year, day one, one of the English VCE teachers was absent at the school I was attending because she was isolating with her husband. And what happened was, because she wasn't actually sick, I went in because you cannot leave, even 18-year-olds, a classroom of students on their own. You have to have a qualified teacher. They won't even let a learning support teacher, do that work. So I was in the room under crowd control, and she taught from home remotely on her computer. And then they were all looking at her on the screen. And
that is the tag team effort.
How did that feel?
Yeah. Now, that works really well because if they had a question on a specific topic, they could ask her, not me. Yeah. I mean, I'm good in my area, but, not English. So James Molino, as lovely as it all sounds, his scheme, he never mentioned that, like, I just recovered from COVID, that I wasn't actually that sick. So if that was my class, I would be able to run it that way. I'd be able to be on their screen, in their room, as long as someone was making sure they're in the room. So that will work better if it's an experience like physics or chemistry or specialist maths. Where are you going to get a pool of them?
Yeah, exactly, Lynn. But this is that's a really clever idea. I hadn't thought about that. That's almost sort of teaching by proxy, you know, where you've got someone in crowd control, making sure you don't have year 11s kissing in the corner and getting up to trouble and just sitting on their phones, and you've actually got the teacher there through Zoom or Teams or whatever it may be. Andrew, stay with us because we also want to chat to Mel, who's called us from Werribee. Mel, welcome. What do you think? Is the pool going to work?
Good morning, everyone. I'll just tell you quickly what I do, so then I might give you my, you know, a better idea of my perspective, where I'm coming from. Mm. I'm a CRT and have been a CRT for years in the Western Suburbs. I would say this will 100% work. Anything's going to work if people are willing to do it. Like, at the end of the day, everybody who, you know, signs up for the pool is willing to travel, willing to go into subject areas at schools and year levels that they may or may not have ever taught in before, and the school are fine with that, then it will work. But I caution, it will not be quality teaching.
Can I
ask? It will be basically sitting there watching kids do what they do.
Can I ask, Mel, I think you touched on something that's really important there, though. If teachers are willing to do this, I get... A couple of years ago, there was a big sort of community sentiment to really pitch in and help out. But we're coming to the start of a full school year. Is there really this sort of cohort of teachers that we can't quite see sitting at home ready to take up and willing to take up this idea?
I'm extremely doubtful on that myself. I am really doubtful. Obviously, over the years, I've met many teachers at different walks of life, different ages. Some have left the profession because it is getting more difficult every day. Yeah. Some are new to it and, you know, they will be going in as glorified babysitters. In the last 2 years with COVID, I've had a total of 30 days work at a local school, and I base myself at one school because I like to get to know the kids and the curriculum so that I can really be hands-on. I don't like just sitting there doing a crossword at the front of the class and just being present. I actually like to get in and help kids. So I think it's going to have to proceed with caution, and I really urge schools not to just employ people who are not qualified in that subject area. Otherwise, students may as well be at home with their parents.
That's the thing, though, Mel. I don't know whether they can be at home with their parents. And I guess this is what we're talking about. Is this a debate about just physically keeping schools open, you know, about just having someone sit in the room so that those students can be there? But then Lynn had the idea of maybe the teacher can be teaching from home, depending on how well they are. But, Mel, you also raised a really good point. So thank you. And I want to put this back to Andrews, the president of the Victorian Principals Association. Mel mentioned there if they're willing to travel. Now, we had nurses, for example, say that they were willing to come out of retirement and they were willing to travel, but there was no accommodation provided, and then there was no sort of clearance or guidance given for how long they would be required and whether or not they would have to travel around certain areas. So it all was just made a little bit too difficult for her. How are we going to get teachers from this pool to remote and regional areas?
Look, Rochelle, that certainly will be one of the incredible challenges for those areas that are rural or even remote in Victoria to be able to get them out. We see that in current staffing challenges in trying to attract quality educators to move out into regional and rural areas. So that's not a new challenge. However, there may be opportunity and schools will certainly be looking to the department for some support in that, if it in fact may be there. You know, it was interesting to listen to Lynn and Mel, who really both spoke about the resourcefulness and the adaptability of teachers and even CRTs to be able to still ensure as best as possible that quality teaching can occur, and that will be what everyone will be striving to try and do.
And I think it's worth saying that in this context, we are talking about solutions where we're trying to come up with the best possible solutions to keep kids learning, you know, further and further down the road and make sure that they're not missing out. Maria from St Kilda says, look, as a retired teacher, I find it insulting to refer to teaching as babysitting. It takes special skills and expertise to be in charge of a class. It is a special responsibility. And I think that's really important to put up top, that at no point is this idea of, you know, diminishing the role of teaching
Absolutely
and the expertise
not.
In it. In fact, far from it. It's acknowledging just how hard it is to come into that context, to that environment, and what a special challenge this is.
And even more so, Jeremy, over the last 2 years, it's highlighted again the skill sets of our educators to be able to adapt rapidly into an online and remote environment, which 2 years ago was totally foreign. And yet we've seen schools be able to do that rapidly and adapt over the last 2 years for different environments around that remote learning.
Just finally, Andrew, if people would like to be a part of this pool, how do they go about it? Is there a way they can register? Are there details to figure out whether or not you qualify for this?
Look, I would encourage them to visit the Department of Education recruitment online. Google that in. It should be able to find some information in there.
Can I be honest? I did do that yesterday. I gave that a crack. Didn't find any obvious links when I was going. And I don't want to nitpick because I know this is just getting off the ground, but is it likely to have a bit more of an obvious online presence for people who are looking to get involved?
Look, it may, Jeremy. I had a quick look myself yesterday and I found the link, but that's because I'm in education and it's probably sitting there in my cookies and automatically pops up when I type in the recruitment online site.
And it probably speaks to the fact that this is an idea that's going to take a little bit of nutting out some of the logistics. Look, Andrew, thank you so much. We're really interested in this idea. And if the text line's anything to go by, a lot of people have a lot of views on it as well. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Jeremy. Thanks, Rochelle.
So that was President of the Victorian Principals Association, Andrew Dalgleish.
Toby's in Brunswick. Toby, welcome to the Conversation Hour. What do you think? Is the pool going to work? Are you going to jump in?
Well, actually, I'm an existing teacher teaching in Melbourne, and I guess I just have a lot of questions about, and I guess some fear about this change of strategy and what this year is going to look like. That you know, the underlying reality and assumption of this plan is that our staff are going to be sick in droves, and we're going to need replacement staff for them. And I'm more concerned about what it means that people are going to be exposed to a level where they're consistently sick. There's lots of evidence that people can be reinfected after just a month or so of being sick with COVID. We're not being given any ideas of how our leave entitlements will work with consistently being exposed at work. There's no discussion about the impact of long COVID and what that might have on staff. And certainly at my school, we've never been provided with proper PPE, maybe masks, the air purifiers haven't arrived yet, as far as I know. Possibly day one, term four, they will be. But you know, we have classrooms with windows that don't open. So
yeah. Have those,
I feel at this stage, it's kind of like teachers are being considered, like many other essential workers, as really expendable. And that's what I find, that I'm looking for the answers to those questions. Where's the PPE? Where's the protections? Instead of just this assumption accepting that teachers will be sick and we need to replace them with possibly even more vulnerable members of the community.
I mean, we were even talking earlier about the idea of having, you know, a replacement teacher sitting in the class, but the teacher possibly COVID positive sitting at home somehow conducting a lesson remotely with COVID. I mean, do you think that this seems to keep happening when it comes to teachers? Do you think that in this idea that you're sort of as a profession being talked around a little bit and not really kind of being a central part of the way that this conversation's happening?
100%. We wait around to see what the department has to say. And there's very, at least from my perspective, there's very little consultation about what it would take for teachers to feel safe in their place at work. And that to me is, you know, especially when the state government is currently in talks for our upcoming EBA and you know, stalling on certain asks that we have as part of the AEU as part of our union negotiations. That lack of consultation and just waiting to hear what kind of risks we're going to be exposed to at work has not made for a very relaxing holiday, I've got to say.
I can imagine, far from it. And it seems to be one of those professions where everyone gets to have a say in it, everyone gets to have an opinion about it and suggest ideas as to the direction of it, but not always the teachers. So thank you so much for your insights, Toby, and it's a really important thing that we remember. Andrew's in Ringwood. Andrew, what did you want to say?
Hey, how you going? I'm a semi-retired teacher. I've 15 years experience and left at the end of last year, 52 years old. And no teacher that I know of has faith in the department. They are an absolute running joke. And the simple truth is we had nearly a third of our teaching staff leave at the end of last year. Teaching's in a crisis because every teacher I know does it for the kids, and essentially now we're being shunted to, the glorified sort of childminding is our main role, in the sense that, that's what our key is to the economy, and it makes no sense. I mean, in my classroom, I had grade four last year, and there's a 6 to 7 year gap in literacy and numeracy skills in kids who are 9 and 10 years old. You can't put a CRT in there who doesn't know those kids and expect them to be able to reach that gap. I mean, it's just not logical.
So I'm presuming then there's no chance you would throw your hand up and consider coming out of retirement and going into the pool?
Oh, no, look, I'm definitely not going into the pool, but I will be working in the, half dozen schools within a 5-minute drive from me as a CRT, because I'm sure there's going to be a ton of work. But
yeah.
I teach for the kids, and I heard a previous caller say they only do CRT work at one school. Generally, I'll pick two schools, I'm thinking, three schools where I get to know the kids, and, that way it becomes more like the job that I wanted. But in the end, I could see the load on teachers this year and the last 2 years has been horrific. I mean, my wife will tell you that it infuriates her that, I'll work 50, 60 hours during lockdown just to make sure I'm hitting every kid, I'm speaking to every kid every day, and it just was just not what I signed up for. And I think you're going to see a lot of teachers in the same boat. I mean, as I said, we had nearly a third of our staff in 1 year, so leave. And I don't think it's a coincidence.
No, and look, we've done previous programs on there almost being a mass exodus of teachers. So you raise a really good point. Andrew, we wish you all the best. There's text here, Jeremy. I'm an ex-secondary teacher. Years ago, I contemplated rejoining the workforce as a CRT. The requirements to sign up again were such a challenge, and I no longer had relevant referees. I gave up and I found employment elsewhere. Otherwise, the process to return some years later was not easy. That's from Kate in the Macedon Rangers. And Judy has said, I'm a retired teacher. I can't find that pool link anywhere. So going in and trying to find it, it is.
I'm glad it's not just me.
No, it's not easy to find. I mean, the site is so long. I mean, it's just education.vic.gov.au, but then it's a really long sort of HR web careers, yada, yada. So go on to the education.vic.gov.au website and hopefully those links will be pretty easy for you to find.
And I think one thing Andrew really got at the heart of with that call was that we sort of expect that teachers go above and beyond just as a matter of course. And
they just because they love it.
Just because they love it. And in fact, they do. And they care about kids' education. They care about the connections with kids. But that's not just an inexhaustible resource. And grind of the last couple of years, if you're trying to always honour that, but at the same time dealing with the sense of feeling kind of a little bit let down, a little bit exposed, a little bit like you're
unsafe.
A guinea pig. Yeah, absolutely, and unsafe. So I think that central tension point, particularly coming into this third year of a teaching pandemic, this is kind of all colliding in this moment. John Mooney is the principal at Emerson School in Dandenong. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Jeremy. Good to speak to you. And hello, Rochelle.
Hey, John. I mean, what a tricky couple of years you've had. Your school is incredible. It's a specialist school. We had a caller earlier saying, well, what if you need someone who specialises in maths, or what if you need a teacher with really specific requirements? How relevant is this teacher pool going to be for your school?
Well, we have 130 staff and, they're very frontline people with a great attitude, great in their communications. They're very vigilant about all the issues we have to be vigilant about with COVID, and we're the only way through it is through it. So they're vigilant, yes, and they're most enthusiastic. So the 130 staff we have across two campuses, we've steered a course, and it's an unknown course, isn't it, as we go through from period to period, from lockdown to lockdown to peak to peak. And that's the attitude we'll have for this year, that we have all staff on deck, all got a positive attitude, and together we'll make the most of every opportunity. With regard to the pool situation, on the people I've been speaking with, it depends on the age, and you find a lot of people won't be wanting to come back into school because they don't, as one person said, they don't want to put themselves in harm's way. And if they are, over 60, they might want to be being careful about their circulation and being prudent about their circulation at this point of time, being sensible. So we're going through a period of contagion. We will get through it, but we've got to be sensible and we've got to be optimistic, and we'll do it. Our staff have been on deck every day over the last 2 years. I personally have been here every day over the last 2 years, and that's the way it's going to stay. And so there are stellar opportunities for learning during this remote these periods, and online learning will continue to be a successful curricular provision. And as such, if we have to resort to those sort of things, while there may not be compulsory remote learning, it might be a key and a strategy by which we get things done if things go from one stage to another.
And it's worth saying that, that idea of teacher safety, we shouldn't just breeze past that. Sue in Ballarat texted in to say, feeling safe in the school environment is what teachers want. And that was really what Toby was getting at earlier, saying that, look, it's all good to have this idea over here, but we still feel really in the dark when it comes to our own safety. I know that we can, walk and chew gum in a pandemic and come up with multi-pronged solutions, but coming into a school year, have we just missed an emphasis on teacher safety and student safety?
Well, I think that's got to be right up front in large capital letters at all times, and along with all other aspects. So we're going into an unknown week ahead, but together we'll get through it, okay? We've got a good supply of air purifiers. I took it upon myself to purchase a substantial number of RAT tests for the school, just in case we weren't going to have a provision and we needed to be able to respond. We just got to be there and be aspiring to make the most of every opportunity, but to stay safe all the time. Now, this twice a testing stuff, or five times a week testing at home, students and the reporting aspects, you read that and you say, wow, that's going to really ramp up the risk.
That's a lot of tests.
And nobody told me there'd be days like these, said John Lennon. let's see it through. We're here today, down one corridor. I can hear about five staff all having coffee and getting ready for the week. They're very enthusiastic about just getting the kids back next Monday. But we've got to be highly safe along the way, and we will be.
John, we wish you and your staff and your students all the best.
Yeah, good on you. Thank you very much.
Thanks, mate. Good on you. Lovely to speak with you again. That's John Mooney. He's the principal of Emerson School in Dandenong. And, when that reference to babysitting is thrown out there, Jeremy, we have, of course, hand on heart, are not saying that teachers are babysitters. What some people have concerns about is just purely keeping the school open for the sake of keeping the school open, and the teacher that is put in place there actually can't teach that class for whatever reason, doesn't have the expertise, hasn't been given the background, is called in at last minute, and they are to a certain degree just crowd controlling. There's a text here saying, folks, the pool will struggle. I've recently retired, and recently retired teacher friends say, why come back and just babysit? Regional schools will struggle, as they already struggle for CRTs as it is. Sadly, babysitting will be commonplace as replacements won't have that expertise. Let's have a quick chat to Melanie in Brunswick. Melanie, what do you think?
Hi there. I think a lot, actually. I've been listening to this conversation since you kicked off after the news. I'm a teacher in Victoria for now nearly 20 years. And I just want to speak to a couple of points in relation to the pool. I think it's an interesting idea. but it's fundamentally flawed. And it's fundamentally flawed because not just because of the pandemic situation, because of a few points, and in particular, the ongoing and relentless squeezing of teachers and our ability to educate your children for going on now as long as I've been in the profession since 2004, and I have no doubt that it has been ongoing for 30 plus years. If you reduce teachers' time in order to teach students, and you as a teacher who is fundamentally committed to teaching, and you are not being allowed to teach children in Victoria, and the children in your classroom and the department squeeze you time and time again, agreement after agreement again, there is never going to be a successful pool of teachers
right.
who will
have. So you're saying that
back.
For years teachers have been treated so badly that why on earth would they jump back in?
Absolutely. I love my job. I am looking forward, believe it or not, after having a break in which I had COVID, I am still looking forward to walking into that classroom next week. I cannot wait to meet those kids. I cannot wait to start the process of the next year. But the department and society, this is not just a departmental issue. The society does not respect what we do. We hear it over and over again. And I want to just state really clearly for the people of Victoria that if you don't respect what we do, then your children will suffer.
Yeah.
And it is about time. It is about time. I don't want to go back to Gough Whitlam, but it is about time. If I don't have the time to spend on your child, I cannot do my job properly.
And the passion for that. You can just tell how much you love what you do. And this is what you were talking about as well, Jeremy. We can't just keep thinking that, you know, teachers like Melanie, well, they love it, and they'll just do it because they love it, and they just want to be there for the kids, and it doesn't matter how much you treat them like crap, they'll just keep coming back and doing it for the love. And, you know, maybe she's right. Maybe teachers won't throw their hand up and get back into the pool because for years they felt like they were overlooked.
This is The Conversation Hour
on ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
G'day, my name's Jeremy Story-Carter, National Regional Reporter, and Rochelle and I today have been talking about, and so many people have been joining us, talking about this idea of a teacher pool, which in some respects is a discrete idea, a sort of screw, you know, it's one potential solution, but in many ways reveals so many other issues that are confronting teachers, confronting students, confronting parents as we enter this school year. And as we so often say, very few easy solutions to those problems.
Well, this is a part of a tiered approach. So maybe you think, you know what, well, something is better than nothing if you add it to outdoor learning, if you add it to some form of financial assistance for parents, if children have to go home and isolate. We don't want to go back to remote learning. We know that sort of printed sheets and depending on, you know, what level your child is at anyhow, that's all sort of a part of this tiered solution. But where will the pool fall in to this solution? How vital will it be if it works? And in particular, in regional and rural Victoria, I mean, lots of texts here, Jeremy, saying, you know, I'm a teacher in a rural school. Everyone in my family is fully vaccinated. But, you know, we can't all be vaccinated yet. That's my worry, looking in terms of the children not all being vaccinated, looking forward to returning to the classroom. But we need to know that we'll be safe as well. So the pool will work very differently in remote and regional areas. I mean, I just don't know how many people will be willing to uproot their own lives and relocate and for how long.
Well, we are in January. You're looking ahead to the year. We all thought that we'd be coming into this new year feeling a little bit different about the world. But how many people are sitting there who have made the big decision to retire thinking, oh, I'm going to commit this year to potentially 1 week over here, 1 week in Mildura, you know, 1 week in Bairnsdale. Like it's a big ask. And it makes me think back to the tutor program that was rolled out in, I think it was October of 2020. Now, when the state government first rolled out that program, which was essentially for retired teachers to come back into the workforce and tutor kids, so sounding somewhat similar, you know, we were still yet to actually come out of that fully devastating second lockdown. I actually looked back through my phone early today to try and place what was going on actually happened in October 2020. And I just had all these pictures of Scotch eggs. Like, I think my partner and I were trying to perfect making Scotch eggs at home. So it still gives you a bit of a window into where we were at least. But that essentially there was a real sense of community goodwill that I think could be drawn around that time. And, you know, the idea that, you know, kids had had this interrupted education and tutors could help bring them up to speed, that there's this big community effort. But we're a couple of years down the track now, and I'm not sure it's reasonable to think that you can draw on quite that same spirit.
It's funny, I did the same thing the other day for whatever reason. I was cleaning out my photos and I looked back over the last couple of years and I thought, geez, I haven't done much and I've got a little older, but that's about it. But pretty much every photo looked exactly the same. But whether or not people will relocate and how it will help regional Victoria, Eloise Beveridge is the principal of Trinity Lutheran College in Mildura. It's a fair hoof if you're in Melbourne, close to 6.5 hours to get there, Eloise. I mean, how do you think the pool will benefit your school or your area at least?
Yeah, morning guys, how are you? I have to say I'm a little skeptical, and I hate saying that because look, at the start of the pandemic, I think we, you know, the government made all these announcements and there was nothing in place. There was no processes in place for us. We had to make it up as we go. So I think in one sense we've come a little way because there's that attempt to create processes to support schools. But like you say, 6.5 hours from Melbourne, we're struggling to get relief teachers at the best of times. How we're going to have a pool to draw on is a little beyond me. And for us as an independent school, we don't have access to that pool neither. So it's a double-pronged challenge for us, because my fear is that any of our casual staff within the community, if they check in and retired teachers come back into this pool, then I don't have access to them neither, which is further challenging for, you know, a lot of our independent schools around the state as well.
And I think it was just last week there was a Department of Education and Training report that found, I think, almost 1 in 3 secondary school teaching jobs, at least it was in Melbourne's north and west, were going unfilled. So that's before you get to the idea of, you know, a pool to relieve COVID-positive teachers. So I think there is a danger sometimes of, you know, zooming out too far when you're in a real crisis moment. But we're potentially missing the opportunity to have some bigger structural conversations. Some of the really passionate sort of points that the teachers who've called in have raised about time, pay, conditions, like real kind of foundational issues of teaching that actually might underlie a lot of these problems.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think this last couple of years in the pandemic, you know, it's been tough for everybody, but teachers, you know, it has never been so difficult and so challenging. And to send my staff and students home one day and within an hour let them know that they're online tomorrow in remote learning, let's go. And these guys have showed the most absolute professionalism and commitment to their calling to teach our kids. And I think the previous caller was just talking about that respect on the profession and just understanding the challenges that it has presented and created. And, you know, we're asking them yet again to front up and putting in place as many strategies as we can. But, you know, I've got regular relief teachers personally here who have retired from the school, and so they will relief teach for us, but they have massive concerns about their safety now and their health and, you know, whether or not they will come back to do contractor and relief teaching at this point in time remains to be seen as well.
I wonder whether or not people, I mean, let's try and be glass half full here, and then when the government department puts this together, they're trying to do the right thing, yeah? And they're trying to do the right thing by the economy, by the children, by the teachers, by everyone within this. If you look at it on paper, there's a combination of rapid tests, you know, however many times a week, partial outdoor learning, a pool of teachers that are there using whatever resources that we have. I mean, is there anything more that they could do? I mean, do we sort of just poo-poo any idea they throw at us?
Look, I think that there's no real one-stop-shop way of solving this. You know, this pandemic has created issues for every industry, you know, in all aspects of our lives, and learning and kids and schools is just one of those. For me, I think I'd love us, as you say, you know, to be that little bit optimistic. There's lots of things in there to try and help us. It's not easy for anyone at the moment. But the biggest thing I'm I really think we need to focus on. So that's a fear of creating a generation of kids that feel that they are behind because we're constantly telling them you've got to catch up, you've got to make up, you know, you've missed this, you've missed that. And I think so we've really focused on with our staff really trying to value in our kids the different skills and the different opportunities that life and school and learning through the pandemic has brought. And let's celebrate that. And let's then try and support some of those other aspects that may not have grown as much as we can. Because it is what it is in the sense of none of us would choose this pandemic. So we've got to use what's there and make the best of what we've got. I really firmly believe that.
It's a massively overused word and sometimes problematic word, but resilience. I think actually said it. If nothing else, there's going to be a generation of kids with a lot of quote-unquote resilience. I do want to do an almost PSA from the text line. I'm a teacher currently with COVID. Parents are already emailing me. Can you please ask the parents, do not email teachers until the term starts? That's from a teacher currently with COVID at home. Think it's an important message and it's an important reminder as well that the same way we're all very confused about what's going on with this pandemic at the moment.
They've got COVID. Let them
literally
recover.
COVID.
We're all doing our best. And I think that's the thing, you know, we see on social media and this big push to be kind. People are genuinely doing their best. And if we can all take the time to reflect on that and remember that, I think it will be really helpful.
I wish you all the best for the beginning of your school year.
Awesome. Thanks for
See ya. Bye. Eloise Beveridge. She's the principal of Trinity Lutheran College in Mildura. Let's have a chat with David. He's been waiting patiently in Ocean Grove. David, what did you want to say?
Hi. Well, there's a lot of things I'd like to say, but I've been trying to narrow
it. Keep it clean, David. Keep it clean.
No, I will. I'm a teacher and have been for a long time. I think, you know, your safety at work has got to be number one. And I think that hearing our Prime Minister saying that we need all the kids to get back for the economy, back to school for the economy, sort of pretty much shows where teaching as a profession is at. And I think that there's a real contrast between the willingness...
Were you insulted by that? Can I just jump in there? I'd like to say, you know, you're there to keep the economy. I mean, is that your job?
No, it's not. And yes, I find it incredibly insulting. I think that you can really sort of see the contrast in how willing everyone is or people are for teachers to go back into schools when there's the union and the department who are not working in their offices. You know, like it's a pretty stark kind of a contrast.
David, do you feel like that sense of goodwill and putting up with even more than usual that might have existed in the last year or two, has that sort of all but eroded coming into this new year?
I think that teaching has changed so much in maybe in the time that I've been in the job. There's a lot of middle management jobs now in teaching, and there's a lot of teachers who start off and teach for a couple of years before they, you know, look to move up into non-teaching roles. And what that means is that there's a lot more sort of acquiescence and just going along with what the department says so that you don't cause any ripples so that people can be promoted.
Your pause and your breath said a lot there, David. Thanks so much for your time. I've got a full board of calls. Let's try and get through a few more. Robin's been waiting patiently as well in Melbourne. Robin, you're a retired teacher. What do you think of this?
Hi, Michelle. Hi, Jeremy. I'd love it to work. I'm interested in the legality to this pool will all have their Victorian Institute of Teaching registration was sort of glossed over, just mentioned in passing. As I understand it, you can't teach without your Victorian Institute of Teaching registration. That isn't a tick these two boxes and you've got it situation. That involves things like showing what professional development you've undertaken in the last year and a lot of and how you've contributed to your school, all sorts of things. Now, I don't know that the fourth year students would be able to get that. And it sort of flies in the face a bit of the importance of the registration with the Victorian Teaching Institute, if he can just get it like that. So if someone is employed and doesn't meet all the requirements of that registration and there's an incident of some sort, in inverted commas, while they are managing a class or a yard duty roster, that seems to me to be a bit of a vulnerability there. I'm just not sure. I think it would be really interesting to canvass.
And I'm with you. I think we're with you as well, Robin. We really hope that it does work. Someone that does think it will work is Hayley Duro. She's a master teacher at the Victorian Academy of Teaching and Leadership. Hayley, I mean, you're always so positive. Is this something, are you feeling positive about this?
Good morning, Rochelle and Jeremy. And yes, I am feeling very positive about this. I've been listening all morning and I have lots to say as well, but I'll try and get to the main point.
I love that teachers always have lots to say. This is what we love about you.
We do. Firstly, I would just like to give a shout out to all of the school leaders. They sort of have been missing from this conversation a little bit. It's been a lot about us teachers, but most school leaders, principals and assistant principals are probably at school right now dealing with unpacking rats and collecting deliveries of rapid tests and sorting out air purifiers. So
standard teacher stuff.
They've just been so amazing. They've worked tirelessly for, 2 years coming into the third year. So I think the pool idea really is a proactive idea by the department to take some of the pressure off those school leaders when and if they are in a situation where they're really struggling to find replacement teachers. Hopefully, with all of the other measures that have been put in place to sort of mitigate the effect of COVID, such as the air purifiers, and we're all vaccinated, so we've all had at least two, by fair bit it'll be all of us are three doses of vaccination. And all of the other things, masks, I mean, we're all wearing masks and so are the students from grade three up. So hopefully this pool never needs to be tapped into in the first place. It would be great if it didn't need to be tapped into. But in the event that there are multiple staff out from a school and the school can't find its own CRT or replacement teachers in its local area, it's fabulous that they'll be able to tap into a pool where people are putting their hands up for this pool. And it's all stemmed because people were reaching out to schools and saying, I've retired from this school, but can I help in some way? And so a few of your callers have mentioned, the VIT requirements and all of the legalities around it. This is a centralised pool so that the department are dealing with that and they're dealing with the paperwork and the VIT and the working with children's check. And that means principals or school leaders don't need to be scrounging around themselves trying to find their staff from, the nearby town or the nearby suburb. And hopefully they can have really streamlined access to people in this pool.
And
so we just need people to put their hand up to be in the pool. It doesn't just need to be retired teachers or initial teacher educators, so final year students. It might be all sorts of teachers who are on leave for different reasons. They may have gone on study leave or, family leave and actually really want to help in some capacity.
Yeah, and it's worth saying as well, we had some comments earlier about it not being straightforward to find the pool sort of registration online. We've had a few suggestions that if you just plug away and go through the sign in. Yeah, so ask around.
If you Google recruitment online, teachers who are in the department will already know how to get to recruitment online, but you can actually just Google it and it comes up. And then there's a button that says applicants searching or applying for a job. And the one you need to go to is add your resume to recruitment online job opportunities. And when you go in there, there are different options. And one of them is called the support your school position. So it's not too convoluted. You just Google recruitment online, go to applying for jobs and add your resume to recruitment online job opportunities and support your school's positions. And then from there, you can sign up if you don't already have a government account. Teachers who are already in the department will have login details. That's how we access our pay slips and leave and all of that. So most people in the department will know how to get there already. So it's not too complicated.
Well, that was sort of mapped out for me as a teacher would, as only a teacher could, and now I actually feel like I could do that. So thank you, Hayley.
Good. I've succeeded then.
Hayley,
just a bit of a call to arms. People out there, hopefully we don't need this pool, but please sign up if you can help your community, and schools are the heart of our community. We know how disrupted the last couple of years have been for our students. And just a comment about the babysitting comments that have happened. There's a lot more that happens in a classroom than just students listening to the teacher. And there can be all sorts of learning occurring where they're not undergoing direct instruction by a teacher. So it might be they're learning from one another or doing group work.
Mm.
And it's also really beneficial for their social and emotional learning that they're you know, they're in a classroom and schools are open as much as they can be. So hopefully it works, and I am very positive about the whole idea.
You sound positive throughout, so we take that positivity, we hear it. Hayley, thanks so much for joining us on the Combo Hour this morning. And worth saying as well, this is a very exciting time for a lot of students who are, you know, of course the circumstances are not ideal. Some may be feeling stressed, some may be feeling anxious, but a lot will be very happy to see their friends. And I think Jason in Geelong has, you know, suggested that maybe at times in this conversation we haven't always gotten the balance right. He says the kids don't need to get back for the economy, but for the kids' own mental well-being. This whole conversation is about the teachers, not about the children.
Well, in the past, we've been told off for making it about the children and not about the teachers. But I guess when we're talking about the teachers, what they have front and centre is the welfare of the children. So even if we're not talking about the children, we're still talking about the children. Let's quickly try and squeeze in Nina in Melbourne. Nina, what do you think?
Oh, hi. Thanks so much. I'm actually the CEO of Victorian Student Representative Council. So we're the peak body for school-age students. And, yeah, really heartened to hear the comments Hayley made around just that students aren't passive in the classroom, they're also active participants in education. So I think that's a part of the conversation that we haven't really explored in this strategy. And students have made it really clear over the last couple of years that school is a really important protective factor in terms of mental health and also social and emotional well-being. So we just wanted to make sure that, you know, students had their voices heard throughout this, and to remind everyone that this is a partnership. It's about teachers, students, families, the whole community working together. So while we definitely, obviously, teachers, their health and well-being is crucial, there's, you know, we can't just take one part without the rest, you know, the effect of everyone else.
And I think it's a really important point, Nina, because that's something we actually haven't touched on today. Over the last couple of years when we've been in and out of lockdowns, in and out of remote learning, the health and well-being, the mental well-being, the emotional well-being of children has been front and centre. And we know that there are going to be huge implications for people there. So even if it is just physically keeping the schools open, maybe they're not learning at a rate that we would like them to learn at, but maybe their mental health is front and centre and that they're going to be happier. And we all know that if you have a happier child, then the world is a better place. So Nina, thanks so much for calling in. Jeremy Story Carter, our national regional reporter, a big part of the conversation, our team this year. If you were a teacher, do you think you'd throw your hand up? Would you go into the pool, Jeremy? I mean, you love regional Victoria. Maybe you could move to Gippsland for a while.
I can tell you that anywhere but Melbourne sounds pretty good at the moment. It's hard because teachers are dealing with a couple of years of pretty tough burnout and frustrations and having a lot of things projected onto them, as we've said. So I don't have that. So I feel like maybe it seems like a great idea. But
let's cross everything that it does actually work. It is very easy to just bag out these kind of solutions and come up with all of the negatives. But, you know, we want this to work because we want people to be safe and we want education to continue. That's it for the Conversation Hour today. Thanks so much for listening. Don't forget you can always subscribe to the Conversation Hour podcast. You can go to the ABC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts, and that way you'll never miss an episode and you can share it with your friends and family. And if you have an idea or someone or something you want us to talk about, you can email us, conversationhour@abc.net.au. We always read those emails. Take care and speak to you soon.